This is a very important question, and again, it will be part of the lecture tomorrow, we'll address this question. And I refer to Tal al-Assad, obviously a very close friend, and we have been having this debate with him for many years.
是，这个我们还是明天会做更详细的介绍。那么另外刚才提出来这位学者跟他像卡斯罗瓦也是非常熟识的朋友。So
you, on the one hand, you are right. This secularization debate is purely a North Atlantic, transatlantic debate, which is irrelevant to the rest of the world.
一方面来说，你说的是这个，这个互相的辩论好像是在大西洋两岸之间的一个辩论。
This would be true if it was not for the fact that the transatlantic became the core hegemonic center of a project of global colonial expansion.
但是我们同样也可以说，就是这个也很可能是大西洋两岸的这个辩论变成一个中心，变成一个霸权中心，对于整个这个世界来说。
And the basic secular institutions that emerged out of the development in the transatlantic north, the state, the secular state, secular capitalist markets, secular public spheres, mother individualism, all of them, as I will discuss tomorrow, have become globalized.
我们同时也看到，像在大西洋北岸的这个美国的这些情况，美国的这个世俗的社会，美国的这个市场等等，这些都可以变成全球的一个情况。
Certainly, you cannot say that secularism is irrelevant to China.
我们不能说世俗化这个理论跟中国没有关系。
The history of the 20th century China is all about secularism.
20世纪的中国历史几乎就全部是世俗化的一个情况。
And the same you could say about India, but India in very different ways.
在印度也是有同样的情况。
So the question is precisely to open it how it was globalized and how the encounter between this Western model and different local developments intersect in different ways. And as I will mention tomorrow, many, not only Tal al-Assad, but many theories of religious studies have even proposed to abandon the category of religion altogether. But it is too late, because the category of religion has become globalized. For the first time now, everybody knows what religion is everywhere in the world, in different ways, but everybody uses, every state in the world, every constitution uses the category of religion and the right to believe or not to believe. So both the religious and the secular have become de facto global facts. So the question is to reconstruct how it has happened and how it's happening today. Who defines, in every place, who defines the boundaries between the religion and the, what is religion, what is secular? We, social scientists, believers, religious people, states, judges, journalists, it's a very contested category, and everywhere the interesting question is how the boundaries are constructed.
Given the three mediums of secularization, would it be better to abandon the term secularization? Instead, we talk about privatization, religious decline, or structural differentiation. When we use the term secularization, would we bring more confusion? Because people talk about secularization in different meanings and switching so easily between the different meanings. This really brings more confusion instead of clarity.
Yes, I think you will, please,
yeah,
in Chinese.
就是世俗化理论的它是三个主要含义，刚才强调的三个主要含义。人们使用经常是变来变去，在这三个含义之间变来变去。 我问的是说，是不是干脆就放弃世俗化这个词，就是要想说宗教的衰落就说衰落，宗教的自由化就说宗教自由化，宗教的结构分离就结构分离，就不用这个词了，会不会更清楚一
点？ This is of course what David Martin, the first critic, proposed in the 1960s. Let's abandon the category altogether because it means so many different things.
当然就在1960年代，物理学家就有这么一个问题，他们说提或者我们干脆不提物质这个东西，因为它的这个定义出现了非常多的问题。
But no, no, wait.
David Martin 在60年代就曾经有过这个建议。
60年代就不是建议。
But then 10 years later,
10年之后,
David Martin himself wrote the classic book, A General Theory of Secularization.
他自己写了一本书, 叫做 A General,
Theory of Secularization,
世俗化的一个概括性的理论,
which is still the best comparative historical study we have of process of secularization in Europe and the United States.
这是到目前为止我们所有的最好的一本书，关于在美国和在欧洲的这个方面的研究。
And the problem is again, we sociologists may abandon the category, but now everybody uses it. It's too late.
这个问题又太晚了，我们可以放弃，但别人一直在用。
And the problem is that this is the problem with all our sociological categories. They are both analytical scientific categories, or claim to be, but also categories that everybody uses in everyday's life. State, revolution, classes, capitalism, markets. The more you try to develop pure analytical categories that you define with a very specific analytical use, the more these categories become irrelevant to interpret social reality. The more they are close to the everyday use of the categories, the more they become analytically useless. So we have to struggle with this paradox and develop, we need analytical categories, but they have to be reflexively aware of their contextual historicity.
但是我们现在要放弃这个词已经太晚了，因为它现在已经被广泛的运用在每一个地方。当我们需要把它变得越抽象的时候，它就离每一天的那个事实更远。当我们要它让更接近事实的时候，它就越不能抽象化，所以没有经验问题。
Ultimately, it also depends which model of science we have. If the model of science is to develop general theories, then the more analytically pure the categories are, the better. If the aim is to help to understand historical processes and particular societies, then the more abstract they are, the more useless they are, and we need much more historically contextual categories. I prefer the second model of social science, to understand particular societies rather than to develop general theories.
还有一个情况就是我必须要了解我们要做的目的是什么。如果我们需要了解的是非常具体的社会的情况的话，那么相当抽象性和概括性的这些理论对于我们的帮助就比较小。我们必须要把重点放在一个历史性的，对于一个历史的情境的这种对于特殊的情况，对于具体的情况做研究的。我个人是比较偏向于这种。
But this is my particular choice. I don't know whether rational or not, but this is a choice.
这是我个人的选择，后面并不一定有什么样的理性的支持。
Okay. Another, please.
Thank you, Professor. I have two small questions. I know there are some new secularization theories, such as Mark Chavez. His viewpoint is
who?
Mark Chavez.
Chavez, Mark Chavez.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. His viewpoint is declining scope of religion authority.
Right.
Of course, he has a systematic analysis. So my question is, how do you estimate these new theories or the development of secularism theory? The second question is related to the first one. I have read from some articles, some scholars said you are the important theorist of new secularization theory. So, do you agree with this judgment or the classification?
Thank you.
我的问题就是说，因为现在数字化理论也正在发展当中，有一些新的数字化理论出现了一些调整，比如说像美国圣大学的 Mark Chavez 他的一些限制在这个宗教权威的衰落方面来看待数字化理论，这是一个比较具体的一个理论，所以我想问一下教授怎么评价这些新的发展，数字化理论的新的发展。第二个问题就是和第一个问题相关的，因为我从一些文章当中也发现有一些学者把这个卡斯诺瓦教授归类为新数字化理论的代表人物，所以我想问一下就是否认可这样的一个分类。
I mean, as to Mark Chavez, his theory of loss of authority is very close to secularization 3. It is the link between secularization 3 and if we go to the next page 4, my own contribution really was to secularization 2. Public religion in the modern world had two main contributions. One, to offer this analytical distinction between the three. And I did not myself get involved in the discussion of one so much. And I took the third differentiation for granted. Maybe you would like to. So the idea is my own contribution was really in the secularization too, the thesis of deprivatization of religion.
去世化.
But, and I did not want to become involved in the debate between the European and American paradigms. Partly because I thought that it was irrelevant for the rest of the world. But I was always dragged into the debate. Partly because I'm a European in America. And an American in Europe. So I cannot, I get involved in both debates. But the point is precisely my main contribution in the last 10 years has been to go beyond the transatlantic and to adopt a global comparative perspective.
Just when you explained the American religion, you mentioned the established, the unestablished religion and the free access. They are, you mean they are old, the explanation there. I want to know what means old.
Well, old.
Old means unusable or meaningless person.
Old, as we will, when we begin lecture 4 to discuss the religious situation in America, I will begin with a quote of Tocqueville that explains the vitality of religion in America in terms of the separation. And he says, every American I've spoken with, priest and ordinary people, everybody agrees. So in this respect, in the 1840s, when Tocqueville visited America, every American already knew the American paradigm.
Okay. 就欧的这个意思就是，川普在1840年他在访问美国的时候就已经发现了这个事实，所以。
So what I was saying is that the theory, of course, is a general theory, is new, but the concept that this establishment is good for free exercise and free exercise leads to religious vitality, this is something with Tocqueville already presented as a theory in the 1840s. Okay, Okay, what I'm trying to say is that although the new American paradigm, the paradigm itself is new, the concept already was central to Tocqueville's analysis of American religion. And in my analysis on Thursday, I will follow Tocqueville and will say his framework is more helpful to understand the American system, the religious market theory.
So I'm 因为我特别佩服这两个词，看到了，就他刚才呢，他那个句子里有一个说这个是 old very old， 那个翻译成是旧的，我就想问他这个旧的什么意思，是不是意味着过时了，或者是没有意义了，没用了？那么他讲的这个 old， 他其实应该是不是过时了，没有意义了，而是说呢，我们现在讲这个四文化理论，讲美国宗教，但我们的这个思想来源是很古老的，就是来自杜克维尔，1884年的杜克维尔。那我特别喜欢他的回答，我就非常放心。那么我认为就是没有国教，宗教自由实践依然是美国宗教繁荣的一个本质性的原因。那么从这儿出发是这样。
Tocqueville visited America 1830。The year 1830, and wrote the first volume of Democracy in America, 1835. Democracy in America. And I will begin the chapter on America with a long quote from Tocqueville, where basically he develops the whole theory.
And this book translated into Chinese many years.
Yes.
Yes, I think our scholars read it.
Yes.
Another question.
Yes, please.
You mentioned that the European religion. And the established religion in Europe declined, and the European, you mean the European, keep the implicit. But some scholars told us the new religion in Europe very, very developed.
I think that we'll discuss. There is very little new vitality. The new religions are very, very small, much more minority than in the United States. Every form of new religion is much vital, more dynamic in the United States than in Europe. There is new age, there is of course individual spirituality, there are new Eastern Buddhist and Hindu movements, but very small compared even to the United States. Yes.
刚才魏老师就是说，在欧洲的这个情况，就是我们讲到了欧洲的宗教变成隐性的，非常的 implicit。那么刚才卡斯诺瓦教授的回答就是，但是在欧洲这些兴起的这些宗教，虽然兴起了很多，但是他们其实是非常小的，并不是非常重要。比方说像是那个新世纪 New Age， 或者是个人的一些宗教，甚至像是印度传进来这些宗教，在欧洲都是一些比较小的这么一些宗教。
The main change has been due to immigration.It is immigration that has brought new religions to Europe. So for the first time, European societies are confronting the issue of religious pluralism, which they didn't have for centuries.
So this new religion
in particular, Islam. Islam is the real issue when the debates about religion in America, in Europe.
Especially the Islam situation.
刚才这个是这样的，因为那个西洋的法则里呢，讲欧洲古流宗教国教是衰落，然后呢，斯拉克找一大堆数据，说呢，欧洲新兴宗教的比例，百万人口的比例是美国的好几倍，就证明说传统宗教衰落之后呢，现在欧洲人的新的信仰就是新兴宗教。但是刚才那个卡特诺瓦的教授的说法呢，美欧洲人即便不信主流宗教，不信原来的国教，他也是潜在的，他也不转性别。我就把这个说，我就告诉他，那么多新兴宗教，有人说是不是真的？他的解释是新兴宗教都很小，是吧？都是移民带进来的，还微弱，好像还不能够说改变了欧洲的版图。我想这个可以讨论。
There is only one country in Europe that has broken with the European model and that comes close to the American model of denominationalism.And this is Ukraine.
其实，在欧洲有一个国家，就是乌克兰，它自己打破了欧洲的传统，比较接近美国的范式。
I will also bring you a table on Ukraine on Wednesday, and you will see I compare with Poland. Poland is the typical European model, and the reverse we'll see.
星期三的时候，我们会把这个乌克兰的这个表带过来，同时我们也会把它跟波兰情况做一个对照。波兰呢，就是另外一个极端。
But the model everywhere is.Either one church or the two churches have 90% of the market, and then the minorities, religious minorities, are never even 10% of the market.
但是这个在欧洲情况很多地方都是这样，就是或者是一个宗教，或者是两个宗教，90%是信教的人都是信这一个或者两个宗教，另外10%的人他们的宗教信仰是不同。
And the only change is no religion. those who go from having affiliation to no religious affiliation. The minorities grow, they are dynamic, but never more than 5%, the new religions. Only in Ukraine it comes close to the American model, as we'll see. Well, 谢谢, and thank you very much, and I'll see you tomorrow.